You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks.
They say history never dies. But in one quiet corner of Memphis, it might still be pacing the balcony. Just off Mulberry Street stands a building that changed the world, not just in life, but possibly in death. The Lorraine Motel, once a vibrant rest stop for black travelers during segregation, now stands as the National Civil Rights Museum. But beyond the velvet ropes and carefully preserved artifacts lies something else, something unseen. April 4th, 1968 marked the end of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life, but it may not have ended his presence. Over the decades, strange stories have emerged from inside those walls. Lights flickering on their own, whispering voices in empty rooms, and a shadowy figure glimpsed near room 306. Security guards, museum staff, and guests alike have shared encounters that defy explanation. Chills, footsteps, even sobbing heard where no one stood. Are these the echoes of trauma, or something far more mysterious? Tonight we'll dig deep into the layers of sorrow, history, and haunting tied to one of the most sacred sites in America. We'll separate folklore from fact and listen to those who say they've felt the past brush against their skin. Sometimes gently, sometimes not. I'm Tony Bruschi. Let's dig in. Before it became one of the most iconic and sacred landmarks in the United States, the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee was simply a place to rest one's head. Tucked into the heart of the city, its original incarnation in the 1920s, was the modest Windsor Lorraine Hotel. In an era when black Americans were routinely denied lodging under Jim Crow segregation, the hotel was a haven, a rare safe space for black travelers. In the 1940s, the building was purchased by Walter Bailey, a black businessman with a vision. He renamed it the Lorraine Motel, a name inspired by his wife Lori and the jazz standard Sweet Lorraine. Under his stewardship, the motel became more than just a resting spot. It was a cultural hub. In the 1950s and 60s, as the civil rights movement gained steam, the Lorraine became a popular stop for black celebrities. Legends like Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, Nat King Cole, and Otis Redding checked into its rooms. The motel was close to Beale Street, and it pulsed with life, music, and resistance. But its legacy changed forever on April 4, 1968. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had traveled to Memphis in support of striking sanitation workers, an act of solidarity rooted in his commitment to economic justice. He had stayed at the Lorraine Motel before, but this visit would be his last. At approximately 6:01 p.m., as he stood on the balcony outside room 306, Dr. King was struck by a single bullet. He collapsed, mortally wounded. The scene that followed, his aides pointing toward a nearby boarding house, the rush of medics, the stunned silence of a nation, etched itself into America's collective memory. Walter Bailey was devastated. In the years that followed, he refused to rent to anyone else. He preserved it exactly as it was, down to the ashtray, the bedsheets, the half-eaten meal. It became a shrine, unofficially at first, then more formally as visitors began to stop by. Dr. King had left the world, but had he left that room? In 1988, Bailey suffered a stroke and passed away shortly after. His death helped catalyze the transformation of the Lorraine Motel into what it is today, the National Civil Rights Museum. Opened in 1991, the museum expanded to include the adjacent buildings, including the boarding house from which James Earl Ray allegedly fired the fatal shot. The museum's mission was clear: to preserve, educate, and provoke. But even the most meticulously curated exhibits couldn't account for the strange things that soon began to happen. It started small. A flicker of light in a hallway with no one there, an elevator that moved between floors without being called. Staff members began to report disembodied footsteps echoing in the halls late at night, especially near room 306. At first, these incidents were chalked up to old wiring, creaky floors, or simple exhaustion. After all, maintaining such a historic site is no easy task. But the reports continued. A docent recounted locking up one evening, only to hear a voice behind her whisper, "Why?" When she turned, no one was there. Another staff member claimed to feel a cold gust pass through her in a windowless hallway, an experience that left her breathless and shaken. Maintenance workers found lights turned on in locked rooms only to find them empty. These weren't stories told to entertain tourists. They were whispered cautiously among the staff. Still, skeptics have been quick to offer rational explanations. Dr. Kathy Morse, a psychologist familiar with grief responses in public spaces, suggests that what people are experiencing might be a kind of projection. "This is a location soaked in trauma," she explained in a public radio interview. "And people come here expecting to feel something, often sadness, sometimes awe, occasionally fear. The human brain is wired to match our surroundings to our expectations. That can lead to very vivid experiences that feel paranormal, but may not be." This theory aligns with environmental psychology, which notes that spaces with intense emotional significance can produce measurable changes in people's perceptions and bodily responses. Visitors to the Lorraine Motel often describe sensations of weight, sorrow, and even dizziness, especially near room 306. It's possible these feelings are the result of ambient stimuli. The muted lighting, the preservation of 1960s decor, the audio recordings of King's speeches echoing through the exhibits. But even scientific reasoning hasn't dulled the unease felt by those who work there daily. Room 306 remains a focal point, not just of history, but of mystery. Preserved behind glass, it appears frozen in time. The beds are still made. The coffee cups remain on the table. It is a moment forever paused. Yet some say that pause isn't perfect. A few staff members claim to have seen movement within the room. Shadows that pass across the bed. Reflections in the window where no one stands. These stories are rarely shared publicly, as the museum emphasizes history over hauntings. But they persist. And then there's room 307, located directly next to Dr. King's suite. Room 307 has garnered its own share of strange reports. One museum staffer who wished to remain anonymous claimed she would often hear muffled voices when she passed it on her nightly rounds, despite it being sealed off. Another described feeling intense sorrow upon entering, so overwhelming, she had to leave. Unlike room 307, which is preserved, room 307 is not always accessible to the public. Perhaps it's the proximity. Perhaps it's something else. Curators, staff, and visitors have described a unique heaviness in that hallway, a sensation that time is bending, if only slightly. Rational or not, many agree that this part of the museum feels unlike any other. And yet, despite everything, the Lorraine Motel remains a place of peace and power for many who visit. It is sacred ground where the past still breathes through every preserved detail. But whether those breaths are metaphorical or something more remains a question still whispered through the silence. As the years passed and the National Civil Rights Museum welcomed hundreds of thousands of visitors, the stories surrounding Room 306 didn't fade. They intensified. It was during the early 2000s when security personnel began documenting oddities that went beyond flickering lights or cold spots. One particular incident involved a security guard doing a routine overnight sweep. He reported seeing a man walking past Room 306 on the surveillance monitor. The figure moved slowly, deliberately, dressed in what appeared to be a dark suit. But when the guard went to confront the trespasser, he found nothing. The hallway was empty, the room locked. The footage was reviewed, but curiously, the image of the man was not there. The guard shaken didn't return to work the following week. Incidents like this are whispered among museum staff. Most won't speak on record, not out of fear of ridicule, but out of reverence. "This place is holy," one longtime docent said quietly. "You don't go telling ghost stories in a church." And yet many admit off the record to experiencing things they can't explain. The more intense encounters seem to cluster around April. As the anniversary of Dr. King's assassination approaches, the museum prepares for vigils, media, and mourners. But the staff also braces for something else. "It gets heavier around that time," one employee said. "The air feels thicker, like it's remembering." Perhaps the most well-known recurring vision is that of the man on the balcony. Multiple staff members and even a few guests have claimed to see a figure standing outside Room 306 at dusk. Always at a distance, always just barely visible, this figure appears to be observing the courtyard. Some describe him as wearing a dark suit. Others say it's more of a silhouette. No one has ever reported seeing a face, and whenever someone moves closer, the figure vanishes. One museum employee described the moment in a local paranormal forum under a pseudonym. "I was leaving late one night," the post reads, "and looked up out of instinct. There was someone on the balcony. At first I thought it was another staffer, but no one else was on that shift with me. I looked up again, and he was gone. Just gone." In another case, a tourist visiting from Chicago recalled feeling a sudden wave of emotion upon entering the area near Room 306. She claimed she began crying uncontrollably, something that had never happened to her before in a museum. "It was like I walked into a wall of sadness," she later told a Memphis newspaper. "Like someone else's pain washed over me. I couldn't breathe." Stories like hers are surprisingly common. Visitors often speak of unexplained emotional responses. Some describe feeling watched or touched even when alone. Others report sudden temperature drops in specific areas, particularly around the old guest rooms. A few have heard faint voices, like a low conversation muffled by walls. One man swore he heard someone humming a gospel hymn down the hallway, even though the exhibit had closed hours earlier. And then there's Room 307. While Room 306 draws the most attention historically, Room 307 has become the paranormal heart of the building. Museum volunteers have long said that when they approach 307, they feel the hair on their arms stand up. Some hear whispering. Others claim that the doorknob to the sealed room occasionally rattles, even though no one is inside. A former night custodian told a local podcast, "I always walked fast past 307. You could feel something inside there. It's not evil, but it's unsettled. Like someone's still there and they're not ready to leave. While skeptics argue these experiences could be the result of suggestibility, especially in such a historically charged location, there are simply too many reports from too many sources to dismiss them all. What's most intriguing is that many of the people who report these experiences had no prior knowledge of the site's full history. One visitor recounted hearing a voice say he didn't have to die while standing near the site of the old staircase. The guest assumed it was part of the museum's audio narration, but there was no such clip in that location. Only later, after discussing the event with staff, did she realize what she'd experienced was unexplained. Paranormal investigators have quietly visited the Lorraine Motel over the years, though official permission is rarely granted for televised ghost hunts. In one case, a pair of researchers using EVP, electronic voice phenomena, equipment claimed to capture faint phrases like "why" and "I tried" near the boarding house across the street where James Earl Ray allegedly fired the fatal shot. Their recordings were inconclusive and remain controversial, but the investigators reported a thick, oppressive energy throughout both buildings. Spiritualists and clairvoyants have also weighed in. One medium visiting from New Orleans claimed she felt a constant loop in the energy surrounding the rooms, like a tape playing the final moments of a life over and over. Another psychic, who was unaware of where she was being taken, reportedly burst into tears upon approaching room 306 and said, "Someone is still shouting for justice." The idea that a place can hold residual energy isn't new. In paranormal theory, this is known as a residual haunting, a non-interactive replay of emotional events that occurred in a space. Unlike intelligent hauntings, where spirits appear aware of the living, residual hauntings are like spiritual recordings, frozen echoes. And if ever there were a place that could hold such a recording, it would be here. Still, others believe what's experienced at the Lorraine Motel isn't just residual. Some stories suggest the presence of something or someone sentient. One staffer recalled locking up an exhibit one evening when she felt a hand on her shoulder. She turned quickly, expecting a coworker, but found herself alone in the room. "It was gentle," she said. "Not scary, but it let me know it was there." In the end, the stories remain unconfirmed and unproven. The museum does not officially endorse the idea that the motel is haunted. It remains firmly grounded in its educational mission. But those who have felt the chill in room 307 or seen the man on the balcony know what they saw or felt or heard. And they know that this isn't just a building with a tragic past. It's a place where the past might still be speaking. The Lorraine Motel is more than just a building. It's a monument, a wound, a message carved into the stone of American history. It holds the weight of a movement and the final breath of a man who dared to dream aloud. And perhaps, just perhaps, it also holds the echoes of something that still hasn't finished speaking. What do we make of the whispered voices, the shadowed figure on the balcony, or the strange pull of room 307? Is it grief etched so deeply into the walls that it seeps into the minds of all who pass through? Are we simply projecting our reverence and sorrow onto creaky floorboards and flickering bulbs? Or does energy, raw, unprocessed, somehow linger long after the flesh has fallen? Skeptics would say the answer lies in our own heads. They'd point to emotional suggestion, the psychological power of sacred ground, and the very human need to make sense of trauma. And they wouldn't be wrong. When we enter a place like the Lorraine, we don't arrive empty. We bring memory, reverence, and pain with us. But what if the place brings something too? Paranormal theorists suggest that the final moments of intense emotion can leave behind spiritual fingerprints, impressions that resist time and decay. If that's true, then maybe the Lorraine Motel is more than haunted. Maybe it's still alive. Spiritual crossroads where the past breathes just beneath the present. One thing's for sure, when you walk the hallway near room 306, the silence isn't just silence. It feels like something's watching, maybe remembering, maybe waiting. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and so you can join us again for another Paranormal Deep Dive.
Want to dig deeper in the Paranormal Deep Dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new Paranormal Deep Dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.